2 Chronicles chapter 26, 1 through 5 says, "And all the people of Judea took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him the king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him." God prospered him. By the way, this is the second in like a series. There should be another one or two after these. So keep coming back. But God prospered him. We're trying to get to the place where we, you know, last week I talked about change sometimes is painful and uncomfortable. Vacation Bible School, since it's closed, I've been going, because it's uncomfortable sometimes to have to bend, grab things, do things that I haven't done in a long time. Somebody said we should to try to get the church to grow. We should try doing like church aerobics or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Anyway, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, it said, as they sought the Lord, as he sought the Lord continually, the Lord prospered him. Now, Zechariah was the guy who was mentoring, was teaching him and explaining things along. And this continued all along, and Zechariah was helping him out. But it didn't say that it would be easy all the time. But listen to what it says in verse 16 through 18, or later in that chapter. "But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense in the altar of incense. When Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, 'It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God.' But Uzziah, with the censer in his hand for the burning of incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense." And then it says they hustled him out. They hustled him out. One of the ideas that we should be taking away from this is Uzziah started off really good. He committed himself to the Lord. His father was a good king. Uzziah was an excellent king, and he reigned 56 years because when he started off and for so many years, he was such a good king that God kept blessing him and blessing him until he became proud. I can do this. Remember last week we talked about this. Moses said in Deuteronomy, when you get into the land, which is flowing with milk and honey, you'll have trees that you did not plant and you'll pluck fruit from them. You'll have vines you didn't plant. You'll have wells you didn't dig and there'll be houses for you that you did not have to build. And once you get established and everything is rolling along your way, you can tell that this is my paraphrase, and everything is rolling along your way and life is good, don't forget me. And so here we have Uzziah. Everything's rolling along his way. If you read this chapter all the way through, you'll find how he was conquering cities. He was taking back land that had been taken from them. And the Lord was blessing him just left and right. We need to understand that it's not how we start. It's how we finish that's important. We can all start off kind of lame, for a better word. We can start off rough, we can start off slow, but we have to continue once we start going down the road of following the Lord. And we are not to be one of those group of people, and I was taught this in Bible school, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Now, they was referring to things to do with the school, not the Bible, but it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. We are not to use our liberty. And we are not to use that to do what we want. We are not here always to say, this is what I want, this is my heart's desire, gimme, 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 gimme. We're to say, God, when we grow up, we should be at the place of saying, God, what's your desire? What is it you want? How can I help facilitate this? And it's not always how we start off. All the people who we consider great Christians or great believers, whether in the Old or the New Testament, they started off just like us, beginners. They didn't know the material, but they were dedicated to learning and understanding. And he had Zechariah the prophet to mentor him when he was going through it. Go to a place where you're receiving teaching and continue in it. It is important that we finish it. By the way, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. But we have to do the endurance. Once we start, we need to follow through all the way to the very end of following after Christ. And I can tell you, a lot of times I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready to give it up. I'm ready to throw in the towel and just walk away because I'm tired and things just don't seem to be breaking my way. But God says, you've got to endure. Don't give it up, because if you endure until the end, you will also reign with him, is what the way Paul put it in 2 Timothy. If we endure, once we start, if we endure, we will reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. I don't want to be in that group. God's ways, I should say, are not always our ways. And sometimes, even in the New Testament, and especially the Old Testament, I get kind of shocked at the things that he does. Like Uzziah, here's Uzziah trying to do it right. Alright, I'm the king, I can do what I want, but that's what everybody tells me. And I'm going to go up there and I'm going to offer these incense because God likes me, He favors me, therefore He will hear my prayers and He will bless me. But instead, he did the thing that God said, don't do. You're not permitted in there. And he did it anyway, and he was leprosy sprang out on his forehead. And it says the rest of his life he lived out not in the palace because he wasn't permitted, but they had built a special place just for him. And when he finally passed away, they did not bury him in the tombs with the other kings. They just buried him out in the field in that general area because he had leprosy. You say, well, we're under the New Testament. We're not under the Old. That's right. And we are blessed and favored in ways that the old people, the Old Testament people, were not blessed. But we still have examples of things that are shocking. I've read this one there. When I first started reading it, it was in the book of Acts. I was like, what? And it took me a long time to figure out what was going on. Because like I said, everybody starts the same way. But you have in the book of Acts the historical account of Ananias and Sapphira. They were a husband and wife team. The people were selling their goods, their houses, and their property because the church was growing so fast. Don't forget, on the day of Pentecost, it was commanded that all the people should come into Jerusalem. If you live 15 miles out, you was expected to go into Jerusalem for the big holiday of Pentecost. If you live farther away, a lot of the people said, I want to be there for this big celebration. They had three big celebrations in the country, and they wanted to be there as part of it. And they said that the city of Jerusalem would expand to up to 2 million people in that time period. And so all these people showed up, but they had only planned on staying a week or two in the local hotels they'd leave the light on for them and they would come to these local inns and stuff to stay all night or to stay with family. And so when this happened and all 3,000 people got saved, they said, we're going to stay here a while. They was running out of food and people said, I'll tell you what, I'll sell my property and I will give the money to the church. And the church and the disciples, the apostles, will take that money, buy food and anything else that's needed for the new Christians. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted the same thing. They wanted the privilege and the recognition. So they sold their property, but they skimmed a little off the top. There's nothing wrong with the fact that they kept some of the money. What they did was go to everybody and say, we sold the property and here is all the money that we've got. Here's the money that we garnered from the sales of our property. And everybody's, yay, this is great. And the apostle said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. That money was yours to do as you wanted. We didn't ask you to sell your property, but your money was yours. What you did wrong was you lied about it. You said you sold everything and gave all the money. You didn't. They were bilking the church out of blessings that they had claimed to be giving. Any time that people bilk the church, God makes a note of it. And He called it a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if we set something up so that we can skim money out of a congregation. So we don't have to worry about all these, we hear, you know, oh, those TV evangelists or this famous preacher or that other famous preacher. They're trying to just get money from the people. God will deal with these people. When you're bilking money out of it, you're in trouble with God. Yeah, He will forgive you, but He remembers and He will teach you a lesson. That's not saying He's going to condemn you to hell and throw you out, but these two people died. These two people died for bilking the money. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 through 31, there's another instance of something that was going on, and most people read this. We're a little bit hesitant to talk about it because we're just astonished that God would do something like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 through 31. This is the Lord's Supper, and Paul's talking. He says, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." Now, what he's saying is if you don't get this right, if you don't understand my teaching and you go about this the wrong way, you could be weak, you could become sick, you might even pass away, because you're not doing this according to the way God has prescribed something to be done. God had told Uzziah and all the people, no one is permitted in that temple, in the temple proper, except the descendants of Aaron as priests to offer offerings. They are the only ones permitted inside, and even out of all of them, only the high priest could go into that one section, that one room, only once a year. Anybody that transgressed that was under the judgment of God. And Uzziah, though God liked him, God favored him, he was still struck down because he didn't follow the teachings of the Lord, the teachings of God, and how he taught Moses and instructed Moses. Here we are in the New Testament, and we are the favored people. We are the people that God really likes. But still, we are to listen to what God says, and as we grow and understand, we are to follow those teachings. Not that it gains us salvation, not that it's going to force God to hear and answer our prayers. It's God says, as you grow up, I expect more out of you. And He's saying, as you approach the Lord's Supper and you partake of the blood and the body of Christ, make sure you discern it. A lot of people are teaching, and properly, that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we've got to be aware that the body of Christ was broken for our transgressions and His blood was shed for our sins. But also the context of this is extremely important. Right before this, He's talking to the people saying, when you get together, you're wrong in how you're getting together. Not just how you're actually eating of the bread or partaking of the cup. When you get together, you're going about it the wrong way. Don't come in saying, I'm rich, I'm superior, and I'm having a big picnic lunch, or I'm having it catered to me and my friends, while you poor Christians over here have got to suffer and eat hot dogs or scraps or anything we happen to throw to you. He's going, be aware, discern the Lord's body. The church is the Lord's body. The church, that's us, is the Lord's body. And He says, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, be aware of how you're treating the other people within your congregation, within this area, within the people who are gathering together. If we don't properly treat the people around us, we could become weak, we could become sick, and He might even say, it's time for you to pass away. I've got stories I could tell, but let's just go right on to Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 15. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not consume one another. He's comparing them earlier. He's talking about dogs and how you should stay away from dogs. And he means this literally because dogs were very vicious back in the day. And he's saying, don't you be like the dogs. Don't you be like them. You recognize the body of Christ. You treat each other properly. Don't be cranky. Don't be grumpy. Don't be divisive. Don't be bitey. And what I have seen in a lot of churches is this grumpy, we discuss and we cuss members and we get so frustrated at what's going on. And yet he's saying, those are the weak ones. The body of Christ should follow that little statement that is printed, E pluribus unum. Been a long time since we've heard that in civics class, isn't it? E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. Out of many, one. And that specifically should be referring to the church. Out of all of us, we are a unit. Out of all the churches in the entire world that are born again people, they are a unit. We have this idea, especially in America, it's always, they call it the cowboy mentality. I'm alone and I can stand on my own two feet and I don't need anybody else. But he's saying to us, that's not how the church works. Yes, you need to be rough and tough and able to take it in this world and stand up. And sometimes you'll have to stand alone. But we are a body. We are a group. Most of the churches I've been into, I've heard the people complain loudly. I've heard them complain long. But I have never heard them even whisper a prayer for those people that they're griping about. I have a question. Could it be that the reason the churches of America are weak and sickly and a lot of them are dying is because they're not treating the brethren right there within their own congregation right? Is it they're biting and snapping and snarling and they actually are pulling the church apart rather than building the church up? How many of these people that are complaining ever go privately to these people and say, I don't want to upset you so much as can I help you because we are having an issue that's really difficult. I had somebody who's working in a fast food restaurant and said, you know, this person comes in and they stink. And I said, they said, oh, bad. And I'm like, okay. And they said, the other day I just said, listen, we're friends. I don't want to offend you, but you stink. And they said, I've got dogs. And they said, okay. But you need to be aware of it because it's causing other people to step back from you. And I want you to be better than what you are. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, the person took it right. The person approached it right. A lot of times people don't realize the offense that we're causing other people. But first we need to go quietly to that person and build a bridge of friendship there. And if we're all one body and one group, we really need to build that friendship. And so we can approach each other and say, hey, you know, just a little heads up, you know, here's the issue. And how can we work on this together? I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying we need to work on this together. There's something we need to follow. Uzziah, remember that. Uzziah was blessed as long as he sought the Lord and the Lord prospered him. The Lord was prospering. And we're not talking cha-ching cash. The Lord prospers a person in all their life so that they will have a full life that's worth living and people will be astounded. Yep, there's ups, there's downs, and there's sidewayses, but overall there's this gradual uptick and people will say, I have led a blessed life. If they endure, when they get there to that end, they'll be able to say, it was a good life and now I am ready to go home. There's a place in Psalms that says that He will satisfy His people with a long life. He will satisfy them. And if we are enduring and we're trusting and walking with Him, at some point we'll say, God, it's been a good life, been a good long life. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. Uzziah was blessed as long as he sought the Lord. He had help from Zechariah to follow the Lord's instructions. Once again, the question, why are the churches of America so sickly? Why are they so weak? And why are they dying out? I'm asking us as a church that we must practice what we read in the Bible. We must learn and understand it. Not just read it, but learn and understand it. And pray for those people who are gritty to us. Just pray for those people before we start griping and complaining about them. Yep, there's times even Paul says we have to go to people and correct them. And sometimes it's way out there. We have to bring the elders in on the whole thing also. But if we want to be blessed, we have to choose to be disciples. And then we have to do it His way and endure till the end, following Him. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's uncomfortable for us to grow. And it's uncomfortable for a church to grow also, because we've got to step up to what we learn. But we become responsible for the things we do learn to implement them in our lives. And when we don't, He's going to start saying, you're not discerning the Lord's body. I'm teaching, not me, Doyle, but the Lord is teaching. He's teaching, and you're not responding. You're not responding. You will be weak, and your prayers will not be answered. By the way, men, there's actually a verse in the Bible that says, if you're not treating your wives correctly, God's will not hear your prayers. Woo. You've got to treat those wives correctly, then God will hear. And if you're not, He will not answer your prayers. But that is a message that doesn't just apply to husbands. It applies to us also. If we're not treating the body of Christ right, and we know we should, then we are the ones whose prayers are going to go unanswered until we get it straightened around in ourselves. Take the beam out of your own eye before you try to pluck the speck out of somebody else's eye. And there's a place where Jesus said, the measure that you use will be used against you, and it'll be heaped up and it'll be shaken down. That kind of thought going on. And then one place He says, it will be returned to you, either blessings or grumpiness and cursings. Either way, it will be brought back to you. And I like one place it says, and it'll be dumped in your lap. It will be dumped in your lap. What do you want God dumping in your lap? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on us. Give us the courage and the awareness every time we encounter something. If we know to do right, help us to do it. Help us not to look at it afterwards and say, oh, I should have done it this way. Help us to try to approach everything at the very beginning and set it right. Father, don't let us be like Abraham and go off on our own. Every time he did, and every time other of your chosen people went off on their own and did what they thought was right without first consulting you, it has, in the long run, caused more problems for them and their children and their nation as time goes on. Help us not to be that way. Our country has enough problems. We have enough problems in our own personal life. So help us to step forward and start correcting all this. By your power, by your grace, by your blessing, by your kindness. And I ask also that you would protect this church. Protect this church from the enemies of the church. Father, they would like to trash it because they don't want to see this church grow. And I see this church growing because you do work in it. Thank you so much for what Jesus has accomplished. And Father, we're looking down the road and saying thank you ahead of time for what you will accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.